that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus did Job continue. You talk about a father that really cared for his family. He says, you know, I'm not sure if one of my children have sinned or have done something wrong, but I'm going to get up and offer a sacrifice and pray for them, just in case that one of them has sinned against you. And in verse 6, and now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And notice this now, and that's really the angelic host as they come. And Satan came also among them in verse 6. And notice the conversation now. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro. Now here's what Satan has been doing. From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. By the way, folks, he's still doing that today. Still doing that today. And notice who initiated the conversation in verse 8. God said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now notice this now, verse 10. You talk about the sovereignty of God. Pastor Bobby preached on that a couple weeks ago. Look at this verse in verse 10. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The Lord said unto Satan, look how he responded, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, Satan. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. And so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I find it an interesting passage. Turn over to chapter 13, because on this element of trust, and you're familiar, many of you, if you've been going to church any length of time, have understood or read or heard the message preached about Job's life. And so Job now was in a position where he was protected, and God, if God so chooses, can put a hedge of protection about a person, a family, a child, a country, a nation. Satan can only do what God will give him power to do. He is limited on his power. So he goes to and fro up and down the land, seeking whom he may devour, but certain things are off limits. Can't touch that. Can't touch this. Can't touch that. But okay, Satan, if you want to go ahead and touch Job's life, you can take everything he has, but you can't take his life. So the verses there begin to unpack and unfold in the book of Job that, sure enough, guess what? Job loses his children. I mean, to lose one is one thing. To lose them all is something else. He lost all the great possessions, all the great substance they had, to lose all his wealth. You ever been in a financial situation in life where maybe you've been there and you've lost a lot of what you had and lost the possessions? You talk about anxiety, not Job. Job lost it all, lost everything. Then on top of that, lost his health, lost his children, lost his wealth, lost his health in his life. And his wife here in Scripture talks about, Job just cursed God and died. Why? How can you put up with this? And I love what he says here in Job 13 and verse 15. You get down to this and this text. So in this thing on perfect trust, I don't know of a better place in Scripture. It just simply says in Job 13 and verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. Though he slay me, Job says, yet will I trust in him. I don't know of another man. I don't know if any of us in this room could measure up to what Job did right here. But I take that word trust, and I began to trace it through the Scripture. And we won't have time to go to all 134 places in the Bible where it talks about trust. But I just want you to think about this. Psalm 25, David said, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. David had a lot to say here in the Psalms. He says in Psalm 31:6, David said, but I trust in the Lord. Just like Job said, I trust in the Lord. David said in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Psalm 40 and verse 3, David said, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. And David said in Psalm 55, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56, David said again, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. If you're afraid today, it's a great time to trust in the Lord. If you're uncertain about the future, it's a great time to trust in the Lord. If your foundation is being shaken, it's a great time to trust in the Lord. David said in Psalm 62 and verse 8, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 115, verse 9, O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Psalm 143, and verse 8 says, David said, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And Psalm 144, and verse 2, my goodness and my fortress, my high tower, and my deliverer, my shield, in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Proverbs teaches us to trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Later at the end of the book of Proverbs, he that trusteth in his own heart, the Bible says, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Get over into the prophets, and Isaiah said, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah also said in chapter 50, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Jeremiah said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. Now think about that. We have an election coming up. You and I got to do our homework, and we're going to have to vote here in a few days, if you haven't already voted, for what direction you want our country to go in. Here's a good verse for you to hang on to in Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Jeremiah 49, 11, let thy widows trust in me. Micah 7, 5, trust ye not in a friend, but put ye confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Nahum 1, 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Think about that. And Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. God knows who trusts in him. God knows that Job would trust in him. God knows that if you take his wealth, take his family, take his children, take his health, take his finances, take everything away, Job is still going to love me and walk with me and trust in me. That's the testimony of Job. Micah said, trust ye not in a friend, put your confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. Matthew 27, 43, talking about the Lord Jesus, he trusteth in God. Let him now deliver him if he'll have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. In 2 Corinthians 1, 9, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we labor with suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, specifically, especially to those that believe. When you take a look at those verses, and those are just a little bit of a foundation of the verses that gives you and I a biblical foundation to trust in the Lord. I find it interesting. You know what? I never carry my cell phone and I never carry my billfold to the sanctuary. You got a dollar bill on you? Anybody got a buck on you? Here's Ron's. I'm going to give it back to him. Dollar bill. And what does it say? It just simply says, in God we trust. Do we really? Do we really trust in God? We have a national election coming up. We have all kind of things in life. And printed right on our currency in America, I don't know how much value that currency has the longer we go, but it's still what we use, what we trade with, and what we use in the marketplace. That in the currency of the United States of America, on the coins and the money that we use, in God we trust. And I find it interesting that even the Bible would call it, even the heathen man or the unbeliever or the person that's not saved is using currency that says in. I even thought about this. What currency does the atheist use? If you're a true atheist, and they'll use currency that says in God we trust. So when you think about it here, really, trust him to do what? Trust us from an outside invasion, to make us prosperous, to sustain our position in a world power and leadership. You know, it's interesting. I find this thing on trust an interesting phrase that came from the days of the revolutionaries that said this: trust in God, but keep your powder dry. And by that meaning, you know, we look at it and realize, yes, we're to trust in God. And yet as a nation today, we are much more self-reliant, keeping our powder dry, than we are maybe and trusting on God. So when you look at it today, you know, today we're on a 24/7 news feed of everything. I mean, you got the way the news feed is and the electronic system is today and the technology we have today. We are just inundated and flooded with a wealth of information. I don't know about you, but sometimes it gets so crazy, I just got to turn it off and have nothing but just dead silence. Amen? And walk away from it with, in God I trust. I don't know how the rest of this is going to work out. Yes, there's a lot at stake. Yes, there's a lot going on. And yes, you know, the Supreme Court, there's a major thing that we should be praying about there for who gets in the White House and how the Supreme Court's going to end up. But sometimes it gets so overwhelming, sometimes you've got to shut it off and say, God, you're still on the throne and you're still in control. And in God I trust. And so can we really trust God? You know, there's two ways to look at trust. One is, can he be dependable in times of need? And will God do what he says he'll do? And yes, he will. And can you trust God? Do you have such a relationship with him and such confidence in him that you believe he is with you always, even though you may not see evidence of that, and the presence and the power in your life? And so sometimes, you ever been there? Maybe you and I have never been there where Job's been there, but I mean, you got to think about that. Maybe that went through his mind, that what he's going through, or maybe whatever it is you're going through. God, are you still up there? Can I still trust you? Can I still have confidence in you? Here Job was, can you imagine that on the day that he lost his children? God, I still love you. You just took my children from me. I still love you. I still trust in you. The day he took all of his substance and all his wealth and all the sheep and all the cattle, all the things he had, God, I still trust you. And the day that his health began to break and it began to, fold and buckle underneath him, God, I still trust you and I still believe in you. So it's not easy to trust God in times of adversity. Feelings of distress or despair or darkness, or we wonder, you know, does God really care? If God really cares, would I be going through this? Did God really care about Job? I absolutely did. But God has a sovereign plan and a sovereign purpose and a will, and he's unfolding that. And you and I just got to learn and understand clearly today that in our lives individually, God has a plan and has a purpose. We need to trust him. And in the nation, we need to trust him. God doeth all things well. And that, just like Job said right here, during these times, continue to trust him, even though he began to lose all these things around him. To not trust God is to doubt his sovereignty, to question his goodness. In order to trust God, we got to view our adverse circumstances through the eyes of faith and not through our senses. Faith to trust God in adversity comes through what? Comes through the Word of God. So if you're going through adversity today, stay in the Word of God. It is only through the Bible, when applied to our heart by the Holy Spirit, that we receive the grace to be able to trust God in everything. I would wager to say that Job stayed close to God in the Word, and that through and listening to and obeying the Lord as he went through those difficult trials. Trust can free us to become the distinctive person God is calling us to be. A.W. Tozer, I love that author, said this in describing such a person. He said, he feels supreme to love for one he's never seen. He talks familiarly every day to someone he cannot see. He expects to go to heaven on the virtue of another. He empties himself in order to be full. He admits he is wrong so he can be declared right. He goes down in order to get up. He is the strongest when he is the weakest, richest when he is the poorest, happiest when he feels the worst. He dies so he can live. He forsakes in order to have. He gives away so he can keep. He sees the invisible. He hears the inaudible. And he knows that which passes understanding. God wants us to give him our heart, so we can trust him. Give him our heart so we can trust him. David said it this way. You know, David was a man in the Bible that was hunted and haunted and hounded by enemies, and yet God promised David leadership position in Israel. And so David continued time and time and time again to trust God through the circumstances of life. David becomes an inspiration because of his ability to trust God, to have faith in God, to believe in God, and to be willing to follow him through all of the things that he was going through. So he trusted God and to show him the way and to give him the strength to be able to get through what he was going through. You know, the secret to responsible trust is acceptance. Acceptance is to take God's hand at anything he gives with thanksgiving and say, Lord, I'm trusting you to help me get through this. Acceptance is resting in God's goodness, believing he has all things under his control, even the wrong and even the wrongdoers. Christianity is really all about trusting Christ and not ourselves. Most Christians are trying to reach God or find God or please God through many times our own efforts. Only we find that we will fail. Perfect trust is resting all of one's weight on something else and not on ourselves. That's what perfect trust is all about. Strength comes from a proper perspective, and strength comes from choosing to fully trust, fully pray, to fully praise, and our circumstances may not change, but we change. Think about that. You might be praying, God, change these circumstances. I don't like these circumstances. I don't like what's going on, so I pray my circumstance. No, you know, God may leave those circumstances right there, but he'll change you in the middle, and your heart, and you as a person. And that's what he did with Job. So perfect trust, what it does, it brings serenity. Peace comes when we trust God. Peace comes from dwelling in the shelter and the refuge of the Almighty. And throughout life, we continue to encounter hardships, but people sometimes will disappoint you. And sometimes we disappoint ourselves, but God is the constant and the compassionate, and he genuinely does care. God has entrusted to you and I a great deal. He knows that we can do all things by his grace, and so God is trusting us to trust him. And yet he knows our fears, and he knows the anxiety. He knows the things that we as human beings go through. So perfect trust is trusting God when you're in trouble. We are all faced with a series of great opportunities, brilliantly disguised as sometimes unsolvable problems in life. Unsolvable with God's wisdom. That depends on our perspective, really. Sometimes there seems to be no solution to what we're facing. You ever been there? Ever been there in life where you get to, you say, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't see a way out, and I do not see light at the end of the tunnel. So I trust you. I don't know. I can't see my way forward. So I'm going to trust you. And sometimes there seems to be no solution to what we're facing. God says, trust me. No end in view, trust God. If you face an endless, impossible situation, trust God. The more impossible the situation presents the opportunity for God to do his greatest work, and by that meaning, Job was a prime example of that here in Scripture. Job 1:20, Job's response to this adverse circumstance, he wrote, here's what the Bible says, we didn't go on and read it, but in Job 1:20, if you go back and read it, here's what Job's response was after all this got laid on him. You know what he did? The Bible just simply says that he arose, he tore his robe, he shaved his head, he fell to the ground, and he worshiped God. That's what he did. Put himself in an attitude of worship. He worshiped. Not because he understood what was happening to him, but in spite of what was happening to him. And Job accepted what God put into his life. That's perfect trust. Job was comforted by God's sovereignty. He saw the heart of God. Job looked ahead and was reminded of God's promises in his word. Job looked within and realized that God was working in his life. Here this last year, I buried a good friend of mine, Jack McMaster, pastor, was the pastor emeritus at Faith Baptist Church in Linden, Michigan. Jack and I used to sit at Bob Evans at Owens Road time after time after time. You know, nowadays, I drive right by that Bob Evans. I just can't believe every time I go in there, Jack and I would sit there and visit about some of the deep theology of life. And we'd talk about things. And Jack used to say to me, he said, Rick, I don't know what God's up to, but God is up to something. Trust him. That's easier to say and hard to do. So Job looked ahead. Trust is usually lacking when unsolvable problems emerge. When the spies went into view out the land of Canaan for their possession, 10 of them magnified their fears. Remember that? With great uncertainty. Sent 12 in, 2 came out, Joshua and Caleb, and said, we can conquer the land, we can defeat the enemy, and that's ours for the taking. Let's go get it. 10 of them looked at the same circumstances, the same enemy, the same giants in the land, said, we can't do that. And they lived in fear. You know, looking through their eyes, this cannot be done. So what did God do? Waited till that generation died off, and then took the Joshua and the Calebs in that generation and took them into the promised land. They forgot about the fruit of the land. They forgot about God's power. They only focused on the size of the enemy and the strength of the cities, just focused on the problem. They should have strapped on their faith and faced the future with faith and trust in God. When God's in our circumstances, He can deliver. He can send relief. Don't panic and don't cut God short in your life. When God is in your circumstance, God is not known for doing standard things. And when we panic, we short-circuit God's opportunity to do what man cannot do. Stand firm. Believe in Him. Trust in Him. God is engaged in every distinct thing in our life, down to the very minutest detail. An example of humanly impossible situation was found in Daniel. Remember, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and refused to bow before the golden image. And so rather than bow before the golden image of the king, they trusted God, and God delivered them. God honored their convictions. Perfect trust resulted in perfect deliverance. I'll give you a third thought on this, perfect trust. Perfect trust is trusting God to work out His will. Perfect trust is trusting God to work out His will. And so by that, God personally cares about the things that worries us. God knows what's going on in the world we live in. We just got to trust Him. And He cares about them more than us. And what it is that nags you and I, or aches our soul, or what we worry about, 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. So my friend today, when you came into church, in the church house today, what is it that you're worrying about? What is it you're having anxiety about? What is it you're fretting about? God says, don't worry about that. I got you covered. Just trust Me. Just trust Me. And that thing that's dragging you down. You know, Moses is an example of that truth found over in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 and 6 on trusting the Lord. Moses had an anchor dragging him down. When he left Egypt, he was 40 years old. He was running for his life. Pharaoh and his men were trying to kill Moses. He was on the run. 40 years later, God told him, told Moses to go back to Egypt because the men who were looking for him were dead. Moses was a wanted man, so he was reluctant to go back, and finally agreed, okay, God. He said, I'm all yours, I'm all in, count me in, I'm available, I'm going to trust You, and we just have to get to the point in life where we let go of the reins, and we let God have the reins to our lives. God, I'm trusting You, completely, totally, I'm all in. And acknowledge that Proverbs 3 says to recognize God simply means that He is in charge. God will make your path straight. God will make your path smooth. He takes away the obstacles. He removes the barriers. If you do your part, God for sure will do His part, trusting Him. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God can make the impossible possible, but that does not mean that things are always going to turn out in our favor. You don't always get it your way. We should not try and bargain with God or try to manipulate Him. Trusting Him simply means perfect, total trust. Perfect trust says, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to fret about it. I'm not going to get upset. I'm just going to trust. Walking in God's obedience. God takes care of our barriers when we take our hands off, and He does so in the most surprising ways. When we look back in time, God's way is always, always much better than if we decided to do it our way. Things will often seem contradictory, but God's way is always right. And so we do not have to defend or explain the will of God. Our job is just simply obey the will of God. And so it's a waste of our time to try and undo the working of God. You cannot do it. God honors faith and God honors obedience. So are we living by faith or by sight? Are we walking in obedience or disobedience? God will honor your faith if you do not trust Him God will not honor your faith if you do not trust Him in a walk of obedience. Trusting Him completely, and you'll have the quietness and the security surrounded by the peace that passeth all understanding. Another thing interesting about perfect peace is perfect peace is not letting worry wear you down. Perfect peace is not letting worry wear you down. In other words, in the depth of every person's soul, there's usually a worry or two. If we were all to be honest with ourselves today, we could all probably write on a piece of paper and put a worry or two and lay it on the communion table. So we all have been there. Even if you're a person that's laughing and smiling and taking life that looks like on the fun side, still deep down inside the heart, there's got to be things that you and I maybe worry about. People worry about death. People worry about sin. People worry about disobedience or guilt or problems or things at home or things in a relationship you're in or finances or school or work or whatever it is. You name it, people worry about it. This worry will eat away at your peace. It gnaws at you. And maybe it's a mistake we made and are paying for. But Matthew 6 says in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus mentions six times, get this, six times in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be anxious. Don't worry about that. Trust me. Being pulled away from what we need to be doing. And so we see the contrast in this in the life of Mary and Martha and Jesus. Martha was distracted, and Mary worshiped the Lord Jesus, and Jesus taught Martha that her anxiety was distracting her from more important things. Did you ever think of it like that? Whatever it is you're worrying about, I'm worrying about, whatever it is distracting us, taking us away from the main thing. So when you think about it here, we find that worry always does that. When you think about worry, worry keeps you from enjoying what you have. Worry makes you forget what you're worth. Worry is a complete waste of energy. It solves nothing. And sometimes when one worry is done, we replace it with another worry right on top of that worry. We seem to enjoy that worry. Worry erases the promise of God from our mind. Worry is the characteristic of the unsaved and not the saved. But when you think about what the solution to that is fix your mind on Jesus Christ and fret not and be not anxious. Seek out His kingdom. We must decide to live one day at a time, and worry can be handled in four simple words. By the presence, we ought to claim Christ's presence, God's presence in our life. By the promises, we ought to recount God's promises. They said there's, what, over 32, 33,000 promises in the Bible? And through prayer, earnestly when we pray, to tell God about whatever it is. God, I'm going to give this to you, and then I'm not going to think about it no more. I know that's easier said than done. And then patience, waiting on God. Sometimes that's hard, waiting on God. And perfect trust is trusting God for the impossible. And you might be looking at an impossible situation. Walking with God is really meant to be a joyous experience in life, I think. But those who walk closest to God are often those acquainted with the trials and the testings of life. Do you ever see maybe a seasoned Christian or somebody that's going through things and they simply say, God, I don't deserve this. I surrender to You. I gave my life to You. I'm saved. I'm a believer. I'm a follower of Christ. I don't deserve to be going through. Really? That's how we're going to look at it? And those who walk sometimes closest to the Lord, if you look at it in the Bible, those that walk closest to God oftentimes were extremely challenged on many different levels, many of the Bible characters. God takes us through the struggles and difficulties so that we might become more committed to Him. Elijah in the Old Testament proved that. Elijah goes to Zarephath, trusts God, and from a human standpoint, an impossible situation, but Elijah did not let the impossible get him down. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13. Elijah had walked with God and proven God to be faithful. Remember he slayed the prophets of Baal? And then I find it interesting, being around a person of faith is quite an experience, and Elijah was that kind of person. Impossible is not in their vocabulary of perfect trust. That builds courage to our faith, and built the widow's faith as Zarephath. The great part of the Bible story is not the widow, but God's faithfulness in that hour. When God performed miracles like that, it is not everything they wanted, but everything they needed, and that's what God always does. God does not give you what you want, but what you need, and that is at the height of happiness in our lives as Christians. So we need to just follow God. Don't try to figure it all out. Most of the time, it'll not make sense, And you look back and you try to figure it out. And try to figure out what God's up to. God's provisions are always just enough. And don't fail to thank Him. Maybe you do not have the job you want. Trust Him. Maybe you do not have the position you plan for in life. Trust Him. But God's provisions are just enough and just right for this time. And just trust Him. God is doing a work in our heart. Perfect trust is that part of saying, God, I'm taking my hands off, putting You in total sovereign control of my life. You know, in order to be saved, in order to come to Christ, you and I got to trust Him for salvation. But then there becomes an element of trust that even goes beyond salvation. I'm not only trusting Him for salvation, I'm trusting Him for day-to-day living and victory in Christ and to be able to get through the challenges of life. And I'm trusting Him that when I take my last breath, I'm going to heaven. I'm trusting Him in everything and every little detail and every little situation in life. The best answer is to have perfect trust in a perfect God. And oh, many times that we oftentimes fall short. So you say, well, what's the outcome going to be in America? I have no idea. I just know God's on the throne. And His will be done. I do know this. In the Old Testament, God raises up kings and takes down kings. And God, any given moment, if He doesn't like who's in rule or authority or power, whether it's here or around the world, He can remove that leader. Just like that. We just need to pray. God, You're on the throne. I trust You. Not only do I trust You, I have perfect trust and confidence in You, our sovereign Creator God. I trust You for salvation. I trust You for victorious daily living. And even thinking about Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Somebody in here today maybe just got word that you just got cancer. You got to trust Him. Have perfect trust. Some of you right now may be going through a deep, dark battle in your life. Maybe there's something financial going on, or a problem in the marriage, or a problem in the home, or with the children, whatever. Just trust Him. You imagine what went through Job's mind? I can't imagine. Those of you sitting here today, if you've lost a child, my heart goes out. I don't have any way to relate to that. I can't imagine the heartbreaking thing of that is in losing a child. And here's Job, lost 10. Then lost his wealth, lost all his possessions, lost everything. And then to simply say, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That's a trust, that's a perfect trust that God, You're on the throne and You're in control. And I trust You. If You kill me tomorrow, I'm going to trust You because You knoweth and You doeth all things well. If You take everything I have, I'm going to trust You. If You throw me out on the street, I got no family, no home, no nothing, I'm going to trust You and say, God is good. I'm going to love You and trust You. It's a perfect trust. It takes a lot of faith to do that. So how's our election going to turn out? I have no idea. I just know this. God is in control. And we ought to have perfect trust in Him going forward. Let's pray. Father God, today that's a message from Your Word. And Father, we thank You that we can look into the Scripture.